minister of the gospel. He's ministered to the Lord and his people. And it's in talking to him, I can tell he's never been really as excited in God as he is right now with what God's doing in his people in the earth. And today we're going to get to hear, open our hearts, hopefully open our spirits, and receive everything that God wants to put in us so that we can truly become who God's called us to be. Isn't that the goal, really? The goal is not to become something we want to be. It's to become who he wants us to be. So, Lord, we lift you up today. We exalt your name, Lord Jesus. You are the reason we have gathered here. Lord, you are the reason, God, that we are even able to approach the Father and approach the Holy of Holies. And Lord, we enter in today by faith, God, into your very presence. Lord, we release, God, what you want to do in our hearts, in our lives, God. Lord, we remove every distraction, every hindrance, everything, Lord, that's plagued us this week, God, we set behind us, Lord, and we look to you, God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Right now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just have your way. We are your people. We are students to hear today what you have for us to move and live in this day. Lord, right now we come to you in worship, Lord, and we ask that you would fill this place with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand in his presence today. If you're asking for my presence, if you're seeking me today, if you're hungry for my spirit, shall be done. If you're asking for my power, if you're asking for my power, thirsty for my song, if you're thirsty for my song, if you long to see my glory, if you long to see my glory, it shall be. Yeah.
In your presence, Lord. Oh, we bless your holy, holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful Lord. We bless your holy name. One thing I have learned, and that is to give God time, because He's got all the time in the world. He lives outside of time. We are limited by time. But the more we give Him our time, somehow He makes Himself just more real to us. We know this, that there's an omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere all the time. But then there's His manifested presence. And when you just worship and wait on Him, just build that cloud in His presence, He begins to show up. He begins to manifest Himself. He begins to sense. We begin to taste. We begin to see. We begin to hear. One thing, just waiting on the Lord and worshiping the Lord like this, it tunes us up with heaven. Amen. Puts us in top gear so we can hear more clearly, see more clearly, say it more clearly, be it more. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. We're blessed to be with you. Thank the Lord for the opportunity. I arrived here at this building in a 39-foot brand new motorhome, 89, December 89, actually arrived right outside this building. Greg Brett was the pastor of the Four Square Church here. He'd brought me up here to work with some of the churches and help them. And so I've been around for a while. I belong to this family, amen? And then in 1991, Denny Alexander and his wife were moving out of a ministry over here in Sela, and they asked me if I'd come in and pick it up, and that's where I met Mike Lindell. And we've known each other since that time. We go back a long way together. Hallelujah. I never thought I'd see him sitting here like this, smiling at me. But it's a blessing to be here. On that day that we arrived here, we'd come over the pass. It had just begun to snow. We had no chains. I know the Lord brought us down this mountain, and there was a lot of vehicles over the side at the bottom. They'd slipped over. But I put that thing in low gear, and I just eased that thing down there without touching the brake. And by the grace of God and praying in the Holy Ghost a lot, we arrived at the bottom safely. And then next minute, we was in the sunshine. And God is so good. God is so gracious, merciful. He's a wonderful Savior. He keeps on saving us. Keeps on quickening us. He's just everywhere all the time. Closer you get to Him, the more you get to see Him and know Him and hear Him and sense His presence. There's nothing like being part of the kingdom of God and living in that place with Him. Praise the Lord. Because when I came from California that year, we'd been down there 13 years in that southern part of California. And I moved from a very hectic kind of a culture and a very different kind of culture. And I arrived up here in Yakima, Washington, and I found that the culture here was more conservative. And so it was kind of difficult for me to fit in, because I would preach up a storm. People would just look at me, and I expected them all to be standing on their chairs saying, "Hallelujah, glory to God." But took me a while. It wasn't long before they brought me down to their size. And I learned to behave myself in the house of the Lord. But the Lord's delivered me from all that stuff, and I have become what I call kingdom culture. And it's a different realm altogether. So I'm blessed to be here with my wife, Beverly. We were in a meeting recently and had the opportunity to share on some of the stuff we're going to share on today. We only gave an overview, a quick overview, because we only had 2 hours with the leadership in that particular session. And but over that weekend, because of the message, God was showing up, touching people in an amazing way, wonderfully touching people with. You know, God has no respect of age. He can quicken you right where you are, lift you into a whole brand new realm. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, He can heal you anyway, whatever way. He can just quicken you like that. And you just know that God showed up. Praise the Lord. If you look for Him, He will show up. Hallelujah. I don't know just how. I spoke to a lady down in the meeting that we were at, and I just happened to walk down, because I move around a bit when I minister. I just happened to walk down, and I just said to her, "Don't be sad." And the Spirit of the Lord hit her. Totally transformed her life. She went on live radio the next day and shared her testimony, how much her life had been has changed, just because I happened to just speak that word and the Lord used it to turn around there was a couple sitting in the second row back. I didn't know what their condition was, but I pointed to the man and I said, "Take care of her," pointing to his wife. And God touched him in a miraculous way. He'd been on drugs. He'd been a druggie. And God just totally touched him, transformed him amazingly. And he got with the leadership right away and said, "I want help. I want to do it God's way. And I want to look after my wife because I haven't been doing it." Hallelujah. God's doing those things. And He wants to do those things through your life. And the more kingdom-minded we become, the more we will experience the supernatural presence of God. It's not supernatural to us, it becomes natural to us. Amen? As we walk in it and talk in it. Try and make as much time as we can while I'm here. Let me just give you an introduction concerning Kingdom Voice, because that's the ministry we operate under. I had some years ago, about 7 years ago, been seeing some things on the kingdom of God. And then about 2 years ago, it seemed as if the Lord just accelerated the understanding and revelation of it to me. And it just lifted me in a total new realm of actually seeing and hearing and knowing more clearly the more perfect will of God. And so I began writing articles, and this article I'm going to read out part to you this morning was my introduction article that I put out. I have some cards on me, and I leave them around. If anybody would like one, you can always help yourself to one. And there's an email address on the back. And what I do, if you email me your email address, put your name and your family that you belong to, meaning your spiritual family, I'll send you some of my articles. It might be a blessing to you. But in my introduction, I start talking about kingdom voice, a kingdom life. And Kingdom Voice is a messenger, a publisher of the good news of the kingdom of God, to bring back a focus on kingdom reality now. Because kingdom is now available. Amen? When Jesus appeared on the scene, the very first thing he said was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is available." Amen? And it is available right now. In the restoration process of God, as God has been restoring back to the church the years the locusts have eaten. In fact, we were in the move of God back in the 60s when God restored 47 truths back to the church in that move. And those churches are embraced around the world and much of the church today. Later on in the 80s, of course, we had the great charismatic movement that I was involved in quite a bit. And then later on, the river movement came along, and I also was involved in that. So because of what I've been doing is seeking to follow the clouds, find out where God's moving and follow Him. Wherever He's moving, I want to be. If He's not moving, well, I'm probably trying to find out, where are you going, Lord? Where do you want to take us? Because again, I'm quite aware of this, that God brought Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea and led them by cloud and by fire, amen, and He had a particular destiny for them, led them through the wilderness so that they would reach their inheritance. Well, they were on a natural journey. We're on a spiritual journey. When we get born again of the Spirit of God, we get baptized, and we are baptized into Christ in the water. That's the sea. Like they were in the sea, we were in water. We're baptized into Christ. And we're baptized into Christ in the cloud, in the baptism of the Spirit. And that puts us into the realm of the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. And so it's in that realm we begin to live and grow and understand more clearly the will of God. And so it is in the kingdom. A kingdom life is something that becomes very normal to us after a while. Concerning restoration, God restored back to the church many, many truths. Right up to this, in the 80s, he restored the prophetic ministry, the apostolic ministry. And the last aspect of restoration is the kingdom of God. Jesus came and started with the kingdom. He will end with the restoration of the kingdom, to bring God's people into a complete awareness that they are now kingdom citizens. And when I say God's people, those that have ears to hear and hearts to understand, they'll be part of that realm that will energize them. The Spirit of God will energize you. The anointing will break yokes you didn't even know you were carrying upon you. The word of the Lord will come to you more clearly. You'll see, you'll hear, you'll know, and you'll walk in that dimension that God intended for you to walk in. Praise the Lord. And so, again, in New Zealand many years ago, there was a prophetic ministry down there that actually taught on seven areas of restoration. And they said the last aspect of restoration to the church will be the kingdom of God. This will make more sense by the time we get through. But then the last aspect would be the kingdom of God. Lord, just thank you today. We just thank you today for your guidance and help and wisdom and counsel. Praise his name. But so we're living in that hour. We're living in that day of restoration, of kingdom understanding, kingdom light. Now, you can talk to a lot of ministries, a lot of people, and they say, oh, we've been in the kingdom. We've been living kingdom. We understand kingdom. But when you look at where they are living and how they're living, what's happening in their homes, what's happening in their ministry, you can hardly see any kingdom at all. They have a kind of a mental knowledge, but they don't have a living spirit, a living reality of the kingdom of God operating in them and in their homes. In fact, one of the greatest needs in the church today is an invasion of God's kingdom into the home. Greatest need into family life today is an invasion of the kingdom of God, because we've had an invasion of every other thing into family life that is very hard for, especially in America, the Western family, who are believers, to live where God really wants them to live. And so as we write this article, I go on to say this, that Jesus Christ is Lord, God manifested in the flesh, and Jesus began his ministry proclaiming the kingdom of God. He did not come to start a church or plant churches. He came to present a kingdom, an everlasting, unmovable, unshakable kingdom. From the beginning of his ministry, his ascension back to glory of the Father, Jesus and his message was centered on the kingdom of God. Israel, the church in the day of Jesus, had lost its focus, and because of all their religious activity and inability to recognize the King and the kingdom, they lost what God intended them to manifest as a nation. Jesus himself said, "The kingdom shall be taken from you and given to another, bringing forth the fruits thereof." Sadly, today the body of Christ has been divided into so many segments that the kingdom of God is no longer recognized as Jesus intended it to be. One of the last trumpet sounds of the Feast of Trumpets, Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations, then shall the end come. It is imperative that ministry and believers rediscover the kingdom and give it the place to which it belongs. It is only a focus and revelation of the kingdom that will replace the confusion that is in the body of Christ today. For ever so long, the leadership in the church has lost their focus on the kingdom by making church life, structure, programs, politics, social activities, and many other activities the center or the focus that they are involved in. Western culture and independent mindsets are in conflict with the kingdom. It is clear by the words of the Lord himself, that if a believer's eye is not single, the body cannot show a clear light that it is intended to do. The Western world, and America in particular, offers a way of life that has entrenched itself in the church so that today there is a plague of social differences, cultural differences, religious differences, caste differences, economic and political differences, thus making the church in conflict with itself by division, leaving it with very little kingdom or no kingdom-centered mind. The church is almost irrelevant as a total community, only by its very nature is relevant. There is a great division between the evangelical, the modern, and the Pentecostal church view, so creating Babylonian condition of confusion. Does any of that ring, makes just common sense to anybody today? Amen. I was in India some years ago, been there many times, but I was in the south part of India doing a conference, and I happened to notice that there were three cities that were communist cities. They had red flags flying everywhere and all the rest of it. What amazed me more was that the Apostle Thomas was down there. That's where he was martyred in southern India. And no doubt he preached the kingdom of God and raised up some churches down there that had a kingdom of God emphasis. I believe the early church had this emphasis, that Jesus is Lord. Amen. That he is God. Number two, that he has been raised from the dead. It's now resurrection time. In other words, we can live in a new life by his life. So there's no doubt in my mind that he taught these things. And thirdly, that he preached on the kingdom of God. Why do I know that? Because everywhere the disciples went, they went preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. That was their emphasis. And so the church had been raised up with this kind of understanding. But over a period of time, there had been an invasion into the church by other thought, other philosophy, etc., etc. And it wasn't long before somebody brought communism, philosophy, that kind of mind into the community and the leaders of the church, because they had got away from the very foundational truths that had been first laid. They began to embrace it as the ideal for the world, as an ideal to live in. And many of them went, and that's how those cities got started, through Christian leaders. They first birthed communism in that area. Later on, many of them, because they realized this, you cannot have allegiance to communism and Christ, because both demand your priority of life. That's your first place of allegiance. And so many of them left it and went back to living a Christian lifestyle instead of being mixed with communism and Christianity. And I say that for this reason, because unbeknown to many, many believers today, there has been an invasion of the church, and is an invasion going on today of many different kinds of mindsets, different kinds of thought. There is activity going on in the church with a lot of New Age mind to it, a lot of other philosophies that have invaded the church. And this is why I believe God is raising up a voice today, many voices throughout the body of Christ, that are bringing back a clear sound concerning the kingdom of God is available now. We need to be a kingdom-minded, kingdom-hearted, kingdom-cultured, kingdom-life kind of people. Amen? Because there is a time and a season for every purpose. And we certainly are in a time or in a season right now when we need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. If we can catch the voice of the Spirit, because the Lord said that on several occasions, he said, ye that have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And when he talks about the parables of the kingdom, he talks about hearing. Blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your ears because they hear. Hallelujah. Because hearing is so very important, but hearing by the Spirit is the key to understanding the will of God in this hour, because God is doing something very special in the lives of many, many people, and people are rising up into it as they have into other moves, and they're experiencing a greater glory of God's presence. Praise the Lord. So, the Lord said to those in his day of ministry on earth that had ears to hear, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them that are without, it is not known. In other words, those that were without the kingdom, outside of that realm, they couldn't understand what he was saying. But those that were within, he began to expound on those parables and made them very clear to especially his disciples, that they had a clear understanding of the kingdom of God. I was reading in Daniel recently, and Daniel 2:44, it says, in the days of those kings, God will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. At the time of the kings that are mentioned in the book of Daniel, and we have those that picture today in the world going on around about us. And I'm not going to go into that particular scripture or emphasis, but at that time, it says that God would raise up a kingdom that would never be moved. This very hour, God is raising up that kingdom. In other words, he's lifting a kingdom understanding high enough for people to be able to see clearly, like it's a big screen in this, and you see it very clearly, the will of God for this day concerning kingdom life and kingdom understanding. Even now, when the rulers of the nations are pressing their agenda for the world and control, trying to find an answer to control all the conditions that are prevailing in so many areas. Even as they're doing that, God at the same time is raising up a kingdom-minded people, amen, that's not here on the basis of saving their own life, but they're here because they're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And they're allowing their own minds and hearts to be invaded by the Spirit of God on this level. And because of that, it is affecting the way they do church. Hallelujah. Like I say, many places I go, stop going to church. Stop going to meetings. You are the church. Bring church with you. Have a change of mind. Because it's very important how you think. Amen? Have a change of mind, because if you're not thinking it right, you won't be saying it right. And we got to get away from the mentality we are going to church. No, we go to church no longer. We are the church. We bring it with us. We don't come to church to be blessed. We come to church to bless. We don't come to church to get. We come to church to give. Because we don't go to church anymore. We are the church. Hello. We're starting to think right when we think this way. The reason for ministry is that the church might grow up in him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. Only that which is in Christ is original. Anything outside of Christ is not original. Amen. From the fall of Adam until this day, everything outside of Christ was not what God intended it to be. But when Jesus came on the scene into our lives, God had another intention. He had another understanding. He had another will and purpose for a new man generation, a new creation altogether. And this is how we are to think. We're a new creation. We're a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. And we are progressively becoming new. We are progressively growing up in Him in all things. He is growing up inside of us. We're not waiting for something to happen from here to here. It's inside of us. Growing up inside of us is going to appear from within out here. Hello. For the glory of the Lord shall be seen in thee and shall be seen upon thee. Praise the Lord. That's what Isaiah 60 says. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the light of a new day is dawning right now. And if we'll step into that day that's dawning and allow the day star arise in our heart, like Peter says, the result will simply be this, that we'll be part of the greatest thing that's ever happened to the church in our generation, in our day. And I got some good news for you. I've got some good news for you. You can be part of it by choice, because you have an ear to hear and a heart to understand. You have that kind of good heart that Jesus spoke about and said it like this. He says, the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. And there's no female in Christ. Amen. He says, The seed of the kingdom, or the word of the kingdom, falls upon good ground. Amen. And that's the good ground that receives it, believes it, and becomes like what the seed was put in. For we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. We were begotten again by a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. When is it going to be revealed? In the last time. We're in the last time. So now is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, ye strong, possess the land. For ye that have ears, to hear the trumpet, and ye that have hearts to understand. It is now time to take the kingdom. Don't wait for somebody else. You hear the voice of the trumpet. You hear the sound that's coming from heaven. You become part of a heavenly sound like they did on the day of Pentecost. Then all of a sudden, whoosh, the Spirit of God arrived on the scene. And all the angels were rejoicing in the building around about them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And there was a sound that came from heaven, and it invaded them, and they became part of that sound, and that sound sounded out throughout all the whole earth. And it's the same today. If we have a heart to say, yes, Lord, we'll be part of the greatest sound that the church has ever known. Listen, I have a word for you right now that's coming to me by the Spirit, and this is this. Don't look at the conditions out there as, well, this is it, this is the end. We've got the great tribulation coming. Antichrist is on the way and all the rest of it. Don't look at it. Don't look at that view. Look at this view. I'm a new creation. I don't belong to the old. I belong to the new. I've been born into the kingdom of God, and I have a Father. Amen. A heavenly Father, because I am a heavenly citizen living on earth. You are a heavenly citizen living on earth. Amen. In a temporary body. Hallelujah. But greater is He that is in you. Now, you might have heard a lot of these expressions, but how real are they to you? The only thing that can make them real to you is how you think. It's so very important. How you think is so very important. Let me say it this way. For many, many years, generation after generation, the seed that came through Catholicism has spread right down through the church, even to this present day. Hello. And it's not until that seed is removed from the mind or the framework of people's understanding can they really enter into what God's saying today. Why do you think Jesus spent 3.5 years with his disciples and personally discipled them? Just imagine this, God in the flesh. Amen. Walking and talking with them. And over the last 40 days before he ascended up into heaven, here he is, talking with his disciples, things pertaining to the kingdom. So that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, what they had heard became such a reality within them, they just went out everywhere saying, there is a king. That's why they got persecuted. There is a Lord, and his name's a king, and his name's not Caesar, it's as Jesus Christ. I don't know, I guess most of you are aware of some of the things that are happening out there in the church world, and where a lot of leaders are taking people. And they're certainly not in the direction of God. They're in the opposite direction to God. This is why I believe God is raising a standard. He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll raise a standard against them. And he's raising a standard. He spoke to me when I went down to New Zealand 6 months ago. I just felt the Lord say, don't go anywhere and preach. Don't go to all the churches where you normally go. I want you to go to where the people's heart are ready to receive. It's no good going somewhere where people are not going to receive. Amen. That's why I came up to Yakima, because I believe there were some people here that was going to be able to receive and hear, amen, and begin to declare who they really are in Christ and who He really is in them. I tell you, there's healing here today by the Spirit of the living God, if we can hear His voice. Amen. There is deliverance. There is victory. There is a sound. There is a change. There's an impartation going on even while I speak. An impartation of God's anointing to you. And the anointing that you have inside of you, so that you can rise up in that anointing and live where you really belong. In the next couple of sessions or so, there's going to be some of you that will go out from this place and you'll never be the same again. All of you will go out from this place and you'll never be the same again, one way or the other. You're either going to go forward or you're going to go backward, but you'll never remain the same. Hello. I was talking to a man this morning that called me. He's on his way to do some ministering over there out of the city here. And we got talking. And he's a real prophetic voice. But I was talking with him. And as soon as we hit the note kingdom, all of a sudden we found ourselves joined by the Holy Spirit in our conversation. I was talking with Mike last night over here, and I says, they that are joined to the Lord are one spirit. Not one denomination, not one held together by certain doctrines, but they are joined together by God in their relationship with God. Hallelujah. They belong because they so belong to Him. We're certainly living in a new day. And this is why, again, we are to recognize that there is a time and a season for every purpose. I mentioned this to Mike last night, that we live in a Kairos moment. Kairos in the ancient is an ancient Greek word meaning the right or opportune moment of God's time for you. The ancient Greeks used two words. I'm not going to go into to one of them, but one of them was Kairos, which signifies a time in between, a moment or understanding period of time in which something significant or special happens. Just in a passing moment. Hallelujah. Because, you know, for us, time means a big thing. But as I said earlier, for God, He's outside of time. But we have a pocket, I believe, that's being given to individuals, people that are wanting God, that they can step into this moment of time and find a change in their life that they never thought could be possible. You know, one of the greatest hindrances to receiving what God's doing now concerning kingdom is this, that we have the mentality in the churches, well, we don't know what's going to happen, all the rest, but one day we'll all get raptured, we'll fly away up there, and we'll all know about it when we get up there. That is not Bible. That is not Bible. Hello? Are you still with me? Jesus said, you are the prey. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For every believer in Christ, there should be no question about the ultimate fulfillment of God's government. Stanley Jones, an amazing man of God back in the early part of the century and into that era of time, he traveled so much. Everywhere he went, he preached on the kingdom of God. He preached to kings and statesmen. He had great, great crowds. He preached to Gandhi in India. Talked to all kinds of people. He never mentioned it very much at all, but all of a sudden people get healed in his meetings. People get changed. People get touched. Lives have been totally turned upside down. Amen. But everywhere he went, he put this emphasis on the kingdom of God. Watchman Nee said this concerning the kingdom. He said this in 1972, Watchman Nee died. How many have heard of Watchman Nee? Quite a number of people. But Watchman Nee was an amazing, amazing man of God. But he said this. 1972 when he died, prior to him dying, he was talking about the glorious church. And he said, we are now moving into kingdom age. God is no longer operating on church age time. He's moving into kingdom age time. That was back before 1972. That's what Watchman Nee said. And I saw that, I jumped up inside of me jumped, and I said, that's confirmation of what I'm hearing God say. Praise the Lord. Stanley Jones, an amazing man, he says this, every man is built for the kingdom. Even the most hardened sinner and violator of God's law is constitutionally structured to relate to God's kingdom. And there is no, because we are created in the image of God, there is no rest outside of His kingdom or His kingdom government. Saint Augustine said this, you made us for yourself, and our hearts find no peace until they rest in you. Jesus was helping His disciples to understand the centrality of His message on the kingdom of God. And this is why he said, when they said, teach us to pray, First thing you pray is our Father, my Father, which is in heaven. Lord, we reverence your holy name. We have a holy reverence for your name, Father, because we represent your name. We are your sons and you are our Father. See, this is how we are to think. Are you hearing me? We are your sons and you are our Father. And we are representing your name. Thy kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life, in my home, in my place of work, wherever I go. Lord, I want to be a manifestation of the reality of the kingdom of God walking and talking inside of me. So wherever I go, the very atmosphere becomes changed because the kingdom is here. Hallelujah. God's got a sound for you in your heart. He's going to tune it up in his purposes in this hour as you listen. Amen. He'll make it so clear and you'll sing a new song that you haven't sung before. And you'll hear God on a new level. Starting from this very moment, you'll begin to hear on a revelation moment voice, understanding of the will and purpose of God in this hour. Amen. Am I going too fast for you? Okay. Just before we just get into our notes here, because this is just an outline. What I do with this outline that you have a copy of, I want you to understand that we have to see Christ in the Word. Hallelujah. It's not knowing about the Word, the letter of the Word, but it's seeing Him in every word. It's seeing Him in the book of Genesis. It's seeing Him in the book of Exodus. It's seeing Him, because He is found in every book. You can find Christ in every book of the Bible. In every page of the Bible, you can see Him. Amen. It's not about seeing how great a man Paul was, how great a person Peter was. It's not about seeing the miracles. It's about seeing Him. Amen. We are to see past the notes on the page, and we are to see Him in it. Understand? For in seeing Him and beholding Him, we are changed into that same likeness. And again, we see Him in here. We hear Him in here. Hallelujah. You don't need that any man teach you, but the anointing within you teaches you. And so you learn to hear Him by your teacher inside of you, which is the Holy Spirit, who will lead and guide you into all truth. Amen. The reason I asked Brother Mike, I said, listen, get your leaders together, is that leaders are to lead. Everybody's a leader. Everybody that breathes air is a leader. Even little children lead one way or another. They get real cranky sometimes, and the parents are distracted from what they're doing. They're leading their people away from their parents away from what they're doing to take care of their crankiness, you know, but they're leading some way. I mean, a lot of God's people like that in the church. Some of them get real cranky, and all of a sudden there's a horde of people around them trying to help them, and they get led or distracted from something else, and sometimes something's so much more important. Amen. Because, again, if you get a kingdom mind, you begin to realize this, that we are not here for ourselves. It's not about us. It's about Him. Everything is about Him. And this way, everything's about His kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. And everything else will be taken care of. Amen. So, what you hear looking at your notes. What you hear is what you see. And what you see is what you say. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you say. What you say is who you are. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Did you get all that? What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you say. What you say is who you are. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you say, I'm no good, I'm just a sinner, I'm just a poor person, I'm just not, you are actually in opposition to the will of God. Yeah. Don't you know? But the scripture so clear says that we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we might know what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God is. Praise the Lord. And this is why I have shared, these are not steps, these are just keys that make strong leadership on a kingdom level. Because it is so important that we are to know as people or have a belief of the truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17, it makes you a believer, and a believer is a receiver. A believer is a receiver. I am chosen of God. I am accepted in the beloved. I have redemption and forgiveness by faith through his blood. I am of the household of faith. I am now a citizen of a heavenly calling, his kingdom. I'm not waiting to be. I now am. Hello? Let me read just a backtrack here a moment. I want to read something to you from the scriptures before I go any further on this area. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 9. It says this, but as it is written, I have not seen, I have not seen, ye have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth the deep, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Remember I said, be not conformed to the spirit of this world. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You cannot figure out what God is saying and doing by your natural mind. Amen. It's not your natural understanding. It's truly by the Spirit of God. And you hearing in your heart, in your spirit, you understand the things of God. In fact, there are three men talked about by Paul in the Bible: the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. The natural man is the man outside of Christ. Everything's limited to his natural knowledge, and he lives within that natural knowledge realm. Then there is the believer who has received Christ, but he goes by how he feels. He goes by a lot of stuff that's been put in his natural mind that blocks him from hearing what God is saying by the Spirit. Do you know one of the greatest difficulties in the ministry of the Lord himself when he was ministering to the religious people in his day was that they already had their minds made up how church was to be, how it was to do, how everything was to go. They had it fixedly firmed. They had all their doctrines, all their T's crossed and all their I's dotted and all the rest of it. They had it all figured all out. And so when the Spirit of the Lord came through Jesus with the word of truth, that was blocking them from receiving what God was saying. And it is the same in the church today because, you know, the Spirit of God has to get through that mind that we have so fixed because of doctrine that we have received that's made us more religious than alive and conformed us to a certain image which we call church other than his body, which is to be the fullness of him, which is to fill all things. Hello. Praise the Lord. Because again, the church is the fullness of him that is to fill all things. And so, as we read this further, it says, so there's the natural man, the carnal man. If he doesn't feel good about it, well, you know, if he feels bad, he'll go by how he feels. Instead of building himself up in his most holy faith by the Holy Ghost and praying in the Holy Ghost, instead of going to the Lord and thanking the Lord and praising the Lord in a time of difficulty, he goes running somewhere with his difficulty and makes it worse for himself and everybody else. Amen? Because he's not thinking right. He's not thinking right because he hasn't heard right. And so, But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judged of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Why do we have the mind of Christ? Because his word abideth in us. His word abides in our minds, not our feelings, not what somebody else has interpreted the word to be. I was in the Baptist church for 3 years after I was first converted, and God had some wonderful people in the Baptist church. But they were limited by their doctrine. When I got baptized in the Spirit and I began to pray in other tongues, that was 3 years later. After being in the Baptist church for 3 years, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, began speaking in other tongues, and I'm kneeling there praying in other tongues, and I had this battle going on inside of my mind. You're not supposed to be saying this. This is not for today. This is not the thing to do. It was a real battle in my mind. And I had other seed planted inside of me that took several years for the Holy Spirit to remove from me, as I grew in the knowledge of the truth of God's word by revelation and not by the instruction that came from some theologian. How many knows this, that most theologians are wrong? Hello. I read out just recently that they spend 12 hours a day, some of them, cooking up the biggest pot of stew anybody could ever like. You know, it sounds like, looks like, smells right, all the rest of it, but it's a long way from the reality of the kingdom of God. All right. What you eat is very important. If you eat enough bananas, you'll look like one. You drink some of this stuff out there, boy, it changes your figure. Changes your image. But you see, we can have the mind of Christ today. We We're not limited because the Spirit of God is being given to us to lead and guide us into all truth. Now, going back to our notes, I want to go over to Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3 says this: Blessed be God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he have abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he have purposed in himself. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? Verse 13 says, In whom ye after ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. After that you believed, you were baptized in the Holy Ghost, amen, which is an earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And then we read further on, let's just read. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all his saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And get this, this is a prayer we should pray, and I'm going to touch on this again a couple of times later. But it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Now, Paul is speaking to the believers. As I said, a believer is a receiver. And he's saying to the believer that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know, amen, that you might have the mind of Christ, that you're not moved or shaken about by doctrine and all kinds of other stuff, because you have the mind of Christ, you know what his will, you've heard from him, you've seen his plan in him, amen. And you're growing up in him, knowing the will of God. And this is the kind of people God wants us to be in this hour, where we have such clarity that we redeem the time that we are now living in, and that we have very clear understanding concerning the will of God. In fact, the scripture says, Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and wait to the end at the revelation of Jesus Christ that shall appear unto you. Amen. He is going to be revealed unto a people in these last days on a level that we've never seen him before. Let me share this with you. When you look at him in your initial stage of knowing him, you see him as your Savior, and you keep looking to him as your Savior, and his saving grace becomes so real to you. You love him because he saved you. Amen. And then as you look at the next glimpse of him, you see him as the wonderful person who baptizes us in the Holy Ghost. Not only has he saved us, but by the Holy Ghost, he has come and made his abode in us. He in the Father dwells in us by the Holy Ghost. Now we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we are in that place of the kingdom of God. Now we are hearing his voice. Amen. We are in tune with heaven, filled with the Holy Ghost, and so on. So, This is where God wants us to go. This is where God wants to live. In that condition before him. Praise the Lord. Now, notice what verse 7, yes. So Paul's praying that you might, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, so that you, eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name which is named, not only in this world, but that in which to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him. Listen, isn't this a wonderful word? He had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. That today you and I are part of who he is. We're growing up in him and he's growing up in us so that he might be manifested and God might be glorified. Praise the Lord. You getting any of this? Hello? God has given us through Christ, on your notes, every possible spiritual benefit as citizens of the kingdom. In Christ, we are fellow citizens and of the household of faith, Ephesians 2:19, chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. He chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world to be a holy, without blame and love people. We have been accepted in the beloved. We have his redemption. Amen? And forgiveness through his blood. We're now citizens of heaven according to be found in. And we have found our place in the Son. Now, why do I emphasize this? Is because you have to be totally persuaded today that you are accepted in the Beloved. Amen. That you are accepted of God. That God loves you. Amen. That you belong to Him. And that you're being washed in the blood. And every day you're being washed in the blood. Every moment you get a wrong attitude of mind, you get a wrong attitude of heart in any way at all, the moment you do, you say, God, forgive me, cleanse me. And the blood's there to cleanse us. You don't give yourself time to grow in attitudes, except be attitudes. Amen. Your whole mind and heart, it's being filled with the knowledge of His will daily, every day. Doesn't matter what kind of business you're in. We were in New Zealand just recently, and I mentioned this when we were down there. We said, Lord, just lead us to the people you want us to go to. We finished up in a church we'd never been before, and a lot of them were farmers. They'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to milk their cows and do whatever they had to do. They were in every meeting and they couldn't get enough of the word. They sat there and they soaked it in. They had such a hunger for the kingdom of God. I never found so much fertile ground in all my life before. Even their children, from 3-year-old right up to this, they would be standing with their hands worshiping and praising God. They had a bunch of them on one table while we were eating together, all sitting together. And those children acted as if they certainly were citizens of a kingdom and not an unruly bunch of kids. The parents didn't have to go near them, from those that are sitting in high chairs all the way through, because they had been instructed in the kingdom of God, and the parents had taught their children how to live as a kingdom child. Isn't that good, brother? Amen. You see, and I'm going to take you a jump here. God wants us. He wants to take back the home. He wants to come back and invade the home. So the parents are the elders in the home, and they are teaching their children, you don't need Sunday school. Hello? Hello? You parents are responsible for your children's upbringing in the kingdom of God. The husband is the head of the home, and he is the head of the wife. And Jesus is his head. Amen. And so, as a kingdom-minded people, we learn every day to walk under the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. I spoke to a ministry just recently, and I said, I've got to apologize to you. I said, I called you 5 times, I sent you emails, and you never answered me, and I got a bit of an attitude, and I had to repent. I said, and I asked you to forgive me. He said, oh, Alan, he said, we've been friends for a long time. God bless you, I forgive you. But I said, well, I wanted you to know. I confess my sin. See, this is another thing. Amongst ourselves, we are to become transparent. And if we've got an attitude, we need to get it right. Because it hurts us. It damages our body. It damages our soul. Wait till I get into the soul realm of this, if I can get there, and get you into the soul realm and how that your soul is being saved. Amen. So that you might be found complete in Him. Hello? Are you still with me? Do you want to stand up for a moment? Stretch your legs. Let's just stand a moment, just to give you a change of position.
Background music is very disconcerting.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, I thought we'd be... It's good.
Don't
say it like that, though. No, don't say it like that, because I asked him to put it on.
I know. What?
Might... What about us cutting the music off?
We can turn it off, yeah.
How do you do that? How you doing?
Good.
Okay. Good. You getting any of this?
Yes.
Good.
Very good.
Wonderful. How's that leg of yours? How's that leg of yours? Or is it your back? Is it your back or your leg?
It's my back and hip. I got bone spurs and all that junk in my back. It's great stuff. But it's getting better. I mean, I keep walking.
Thank you, Jesus.
Moving.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen to that. That's the key.
I just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You forgive all mine iniquities. You heal all my diseases. Sorry.
I was going to say, when you were talking about the kids, that did me good, because I've been complimented when my kids were little in a restaurant.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. You getting some of this?
Yes.
Good. Good.
I was trying to get a jacket. I was freezing though.
I got one hanging on a shirt. Right. Cheer out there.
Got it. Yes.
I meant for people just Well, God bless you. Let's carry on here. Amen. Let's make the most of the time that we've got. Thank you, Lord. So we understand this. We have this clearly fixed in our hearts and minds. Amen. We are a citizen people. We are a kingdom citizen people. We have been born in the Spirit. We are washed in the blood every day. We're cleansed. And we learn every day to keep ourselves filled with the Holy Ghost by building up ourselves in our most holy faith by the Holy Ghost. We sing to ourselves. We make melody in our hearts, singing to ourselves in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. I do it all the time. I'm a great singer. I'm always saying, hallelujah, wonderful Jesus, I love you, Lord, hallelujah, rasi arabadanya, hallelujah. I keep on doing it. I tell you what, Paul prayed in tongues all the time. Amen. We need to be a people that pray in the Holy Ghost all the time. You can do it quietly. You can lift your voice and do it. I mean, I do it always, but I just keep on doing it all the time. Because it keeps us alert in God. It keeps us in a position when we can speak to somebody, we just meet, and we've got something. The Holy Spirit releases a word through us. Pray for somebody and something happens because we're walking in the reality of Christ. We're learning to live in Him every moment of every day. Hallelujah. Now, I know what I'm talking about because I learned to do this when I was working 6 and 7, 8 hours a day, big time, when I first converted. I used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I never finished till 7 o'clock. But every time I got up 4 o'clock in the morning, I would kneel down and I'd pray for an hour. And then I'd go and cook my breakfast and go to work, and I'd work all day. And I'd keep in tune with God while I was working all day. And my mind would stray. I remember my mind straying one day, and I thought about a guy that did me mean. And I was thinking, I'm going to get that guy. I'm going to fix him. And I'm working away, and I'm thinking about this, and all of a sudden I whang my hand with a hammer. And my, it hurt, and I could use a hammer. I could hit anything straight, never, never miss. But I hurt. And I looked at my hand. There wasn't a mark on it. And I hit it big time. There wasn't a mark on it. But I learned my first lesson. I reckon it was an angel. He drove that hammer right into my hand. He says, you don't think there anymore. You don't belong to that life. Amen. The first lesson I learned. Not to allow my mind to go into the past, into history, into those things that are dead and buried in Christ. But we're to walk in newness of life every day because we now are a new creation people. Old things are passed away. We are progressively growing up in Him. We are a new creation. We are not of the old. Hallelujah. This is the mind that we are to have. And it'll make all the difference. concerning our future and our immediate future, it'll make all the difference. I am now. Talk to yourself. I was praying recently. I just had my breakfast. I was just praying and thanking the Lord. And I said, I just had the thought, you're a son of the kingdom. And I said, Lord, I'm a son of the kingdom. I got this overwhelming joy just filled my heart because the Holy Spirit bared witness with it. And it just did something special for me. Because you think right, the Holy Spirit will manifest. He will come through. He will, hello. He is with us all the time, every day, 24 hours a day. Every morning when I wake up in the morning, I try to set my affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You say, Brother Alan, but we got work to do. Yeah, I know. I got work to do too. I've been renovating my house. Here I am 24 years up of age, up a ladder on top of my roof, fixing things. I asked my wife, 5 and 6 hours a day. Sometimes it'd get dark and I'd be still out there trying to get this job done. I bought an old house and I worked on it for 12 months to fix it all up. Man, my back used to get sore. You talk about back. And I'd praise the Lord and God had come through. And amen. Anyway, I'm talking about reality. So we are to know who we are. Don't forever, for a moment, doubt that God loves you, God's for you, amen, God's with you, God will enable you, He'll give you wisdom, ask of Him wisdom. Ask of Him counsel. Ask of Him guidance. Don't just make decisions out there according to what you think you should do. Do it according to what He tells you to do. Hallelujah. Don't just go anywhere, any place, any time. Go to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, is this your will? How can I please you today? One of the prayers I pray every day, almost every day, I say, Lord, I want to please you today. Not here to please myself. I want your will, your whatever is your will, Lord. I want to please you. Amen? Because I am now. I'm not trying to be. This is as real as breathing air to me. I'm a son of the kingdom. I belong to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm bringing it with me. I'm bringing all that God has given me in Christ with me. And I'm going to come together to have fellowship with those who are like precious faith. And I'm going to lift my hands and worship with them. And when the King of Glory comes in, I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to bring a word of exhortation. I'm going to bless. I'm going to give. I'm just going to get so operate like the Son Himself. Amen. He is... the one that we are to hear. Amen. He is the pattern son. Hallelujah. We see Jesus. Hallelujah. And we begin to be transformed into that same image, even by the Spirit of the Lord. We look at Pentecost and we see ourselves as baptized in the Spirit. But you see, there's three levels of glory. We look beyond Pentecost into the most holy place where there's the cherubims of glory and the ark and the mercy seat, the blood. So we look beyond. We look beyond Pentecost today. We look beyond Pentecost today. Amen. We look beyond the gifts of the Spirit and the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and all these things. We look beyond that. We have the Holy Ghost in us and He's the giver of gifts. But we're not looking for gifts. We're not looking for this or that or the other thing. We're looking unto Jesus and we're seeing Him high and lifted up and His train is filling this temple. Amen. It's so real. So we're not looking for things. We're looking at the one and only true God, our Father. Hallelujah. And beholding Him, we are changed. So we're looking into the most holy place now. We're not looking into the outer court where the candlestick is and the table of showbread. You following me? We're looking at where he is. Now the golden incense, the golden altar, the place of incense is in the most holy place in the book of Hebrews. So we're in the most holy place with him. When we lift our hands and we begin to worship just out of our spirit, we're actually burning incense. We actually are making a holy smoke that we can come into his presence within that cloud and become a cloud of his glory. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Amen. And of course, beholding him in that place, we are brought into that third level of glory. That's where we are to see him today, beyond the holy place, into the most holy place. When you look at the book of Corinthians, you'll find there, now abideth faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But then it talks about all the other gifts, and they talk about, well, they are temporal, they are fading away, because those that are in the holy place are going to measure out into the outer court, but those that are pressing on in him are going to be measured up in him. Did you get that? God's measuring a people up. Look in the book of Revelation. Measure the temple. Chapter 11. Anyway, that's another subject. We won't go there right now, but we know who we are. We have been redeemed. We're washed by the blood. We are sons of the kingdom. We are. This is the mindset we have, and we're not going to change. Hallelujah. By other thought, other something else out there. We're being transformed because we have the mind of Christ. And then you'll find this, that the key is the importance of faith. We'll go there right now. We are looking at things, 2 Corinthians 4:18. We are not looking at things temporal, but things that are eternal. We're setting our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. We're seeking first the kingdom of God. That means that we live kingdom. Amen. To seek first the kingdom of God. We live in the kingdom realm for the kingdom. The importance of faith, your faith. Now let me talk about your faith. Let me give you an understanding what your faith is. Your faith is God faith. It's very important you understand this. Your faith is God faith. What do I mean by that? Faith comes by hearing, which is the rhema of God's word, and hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the rhema of God's word. You hear it in your spirit. When you hear it in your spirit, you've got the revelation of it. It's as clear as can be. You have a revelation of it. It's in your spirit. Amen. So, once it gets into your spirit, it is your faith now. But it's God-given faith. He gives it to us. Hallelujah. And we become part of his faith. And so now we learn to live by faith. In God's faith that is in us, that he's given us, which is our faith. Hallelujah. And if we understand this, see, so many people are taught the doctrines, and their faith is in doctrine. Their faith is in living by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil rather than the tree of life. Because God's people are being taught by so many people out there that are teaching, well, you must not do that, you must do this. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You must be good to this and bad to that. You know, it's doctrine. And people are living by doctrine. Well, if I be good, do good, one day God will rapture me and take me to heaven. That is doctrine. They're living around that doctrine. I need to go to church because I'm a Christian. I have to go to church. I need to pray because I'm a Christian. I need to read my Bible because I'm a Christian. That is all dead works. We love to pray because we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We love to praise because we're in touch with heaven. We love the Word of God because we can't get enough of it. makes us wise unto salvation. Hallelujah. We have a hunger for God. We have a thirst for His Spirit. We drink of His blood every day and we eat of His body every day. We live by the life of Him. That's His blood. We live by that life every day. We drink of that every day. We drink of His life. Jesus said, "The words I speak unto you are spirit and life." He wasn't talking about drinking natural blood or eating natural flesh. He was talking about that living reality of that living bread that came from heaven, that if a man eat thereof, he shall never die. He was talking about drinking of the very life of God. Hallelujah. In the Holy Ghost, living in a spirit-filled. Most of God's people who say they are Pentecostal spirit, they are no more spirit-filled than the man in the moon. I was in a meeting recently sharing with pastors. And I said, I was on the kingdom of God, and one of the pastor's wife, bless her heart, she said, "Oh, we've been living kingdom for 35 years. We've been in ministry. We've been teaching the kingdom of God." And I thought, oh, praise the Lord. When we got through, we took a time to have a cup of tea together, do something together. And it was by that time, it's about 11 o'clock, because I'm a long preacher. I can go all day if you want to keep stay here. But anyway. Anyway, glory to Jesus. Now, don't you laugh too much. You'll get me. Anyway, it's getting late, so the pastor, the man, he goes out to the car and he comes back and his wife's talking to somebody else over here flat out. He went over to her and said, "Well, we're going to leave now." And she just didn't take any notice. She just kept on talking. And then his daughter's sitting there playing with one of these machines, you know, all the kids play with today, and she's playing with. And he went in and said, "Well, put that away now, sweetheart. We want to go out. We want to leave." And he goes out. He comes back in 10 minutes late. He looks around. They're just doing the same thing. And he goes to his daughter and he said to her nicely, "Put that away." And she says, "You wait for me." Is that kingdom? You wait for me. His wife never took any notice at all. I mean, and she was the one that says, "We're living kingdom all the time." Don't know what kind of kingdom they're living in, but that's not God's kingdom. You hear what I'm saying? By their fruits you shall know them. Hallelujah. So your faith is a God-given faith. And John says this, faith is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The world doesn't have any control on us. The economic situation is not controlling us. Our source is God. Our source is God. Our source is not the economy of this world. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things might abound in every good work. He's got an open door for you right before you today, that if you'll rise up into it, He'll turn things around. He'll bring you into a dimension of understanding and faith where you will know that He is able and does supply your needs according to His riches and glory. He'll make you a giver beyond anything else. Because He's at work in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure in you. If you can receive that, it'll change your whole life. Oh, God's good. God is good. Come on, you agree with me. Somebody agree with me. God is good. Our Father is a good God. Because it is the victory. Your faith is God's faith. and it overcomes the world. But you've got to exercise your faith. Faith is not passive. Faith is positive. It's not just an emotional, just an emotion. It is a reality of God at work in you because you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is active, positive. Faith obtains a good report. Through faith we understand. By faith we make sacrifice. Sometimes your body doesn't feel like making much of a sacrifice. But we come into His presence with thanksgiving. Amen. We tell this body, get up and go for God. Amen. We speak it and tell it to obey the word of the Lord. Not how we feel, but who we are. Here I am, 24 years of age. And man, I live in the anointing. I mean, I just live in the anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Took me many years to get here, but you don't have to wait so long. You can be here today. It took me at least 24 years to get here. But by faith we please God. Without faith we cannot please God. By faith we embrace the promise of God. Listen, hear this. We embrace the will of God. We take hold of it. We make it our own. We don't let it go. We embrace the promise of it. We embrace the living reality of the living Word of God that comes to us by the Spirit, and we embrace it. And we're fully persuaded. Amen? Like they were in the book of Hebrews. They were fully persuaded. And they confessed that they were strangers. They were foreigners. They were aliens. When I first came to this country for the first many years, because I come from New Zealand, I had a green card and it had alien on it. I always really go, I'm an alien. But when I became an American citizen, I remember being in that big building, and every country people were called, and they were inaugurated into being a citizen of America. When Kiwi's time came, New Zealanders came, there's only about a half a dozen of us people that stood up. And my wife and I, we stood up and get all this big applause. Amen. We're now citizens of the kingdom of God. I'm free. I'm free to vote. I'm free. I can throw around this alien card. I got a passport now. I can come and go as a citizen. Well, that's the same as become citizens of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We're free in Christ to live in total freedom. We're not controlled by the mind or the politics or the wisdom of man, but we're controlled by the wisdom of God, for He has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Praise the Lord. So we embrace the promises of God. And by faith we maintain a kingdom mindset when facing negative circumstances and trials of our faith. We rejoice in the Lord. We praise God. We give Him thanks. Amen. We learn to speak who we are. We allow the Holy Spirit. See again, here's another key for you. The Holy Ghost is inside of you. But he is released through your faith. When you pray, He's released. When you praise, He's released. When you go and bless somebody, He's released. Amen. And He wants to get it. And I tell you what it does for you. It puts you into a life realm with God. You don't get stale. You don't get religious. You don't get into formality. You live in a life realm with God. Live in that place with God, because He's flowing through you all the time. Look for an opportunity to bless somebody. Amen. But you have to open your mouth and He will fill it. You lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. You see, you exercise your faith. God releases the Holy Spirit on that basis. The Word of God is nigh us, even in our heart, that Word that we preach. But if we believe in our heart, and what do? We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. All of a sudden, oh, this is getting exciting. This is wonderful. God spoke through me today. God gave me a word for somebody. God just does it. It just happens. When we start praising Him, praise makes a way for God to work. If you're going through a hard time, start praising Him. Don't look at the hard time. Look at Him. See Him in all things. See Him in every. You see Him everywhere. You can see Him in nature. You can see Him in the sky. You can see Him around you all the time. He's everywhere all the time. And all the time He's speaking to us, but we don't hear Him. But all the time, He's just uttering speech from day to day, night and day. He's talking to us all the time. We just have eyes to see and ears to hear. In amazing ways, little things. My wife and I was talking as we coming up here, and we when we were living in Yakima, we've lived in about a dozen homes when we were here. We were always living someplace. But we got into a home down here that somebody let us live in for a while, and they sold it. And we found out about 2 days before the new people were coming in that it was sold. And we thought, well, what do we do now? So that afternoon we was talking to Brother Denny Alexander and his wife, and they had to move out of their house because of their situation at the time. And I said to them, I said, listen, you're moving out. I said, we'll rent your house for you, and I'll help make some payments on it while you getting your feet somewhere else. And they said, oh, welcome, please. So we stepped out of their house into another house. God had it already arranged. I mean, that's happened to us so many times. If you're walking in God, He arranges things. Listen, walk in God and He'll arrange things for you. God's going to arrange some things for you. You hear what I'm saying? Hear the voice of the Lord. God's going to make some arrangements. And as you see those arrangements, you start walking in those arrangements, you'll be amazed at the arrangements God's already made for you. Nobody can arrange things just like Him. Hallelujah. Yeah. You're going to become a voice. A voice. So you're going to start speaking things you've not spoken before. You're going to hear Him, and you're just going to say it, and you'll be amazed at what comes from it, because He's made the arrangements already for you. Hallelujah. He's arranging our lives. He'll arrange your life for you. This is why I like people sitting around and saying, I went to one church a while ago, and I said, Pastor, I said, get all these chairs. I said, let me do something crazy. Upset everybody. I said, get the chairs and push them all back. All you people stand up, I said. First of all, stand up. And they all stood up. I said, now get some of these young men, get those chairs and take them away from them, put them way back there, and put them around in a big circle, I said, so I can stand over here in the middle, because I don't like to walk so far. So I said to Peter, I said to Mike, I said, put the chairs around in a circle so it's just easier for me to come here to talk than to go way over here and talk, you see. We had a great time. Anyway, by faith we maintain a kingdom mindset when facing negative circumstances and trials of our faith. Hear this, get this. There are three levels of righteous faith. When we are justified because of His resurrection, we have been justified. Amen? We have been made right with God. When we accepted Christ, His righteousness was imputed to us. That's the word. He saw us as righteous through His Son. That's the first stage of faith. But then we grow from faith to faith. So in our growing from faith to faith, we're growing in righteousness. Follow me? And then we come to a stage where the just shall live by faith. They're living in righteousness. It's amazing how God reveals himself, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, outer court, most outer court, holy place, most holy place. Children, young men, fathers. He's revealing himself all the time in a threefold manner. Amen. And who sees how we go from, we grow in righteousness, we grow in faith, righteousness and faith. We grow to grow from one level to another level. And God's bringing a people, he's going to do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness, where people are living in a faith realm of kingdom life. So the righteousness of God is being revealed through them. Hallelujah. Seek first the kingdom of God and his right way. And all the rest will be taken care of. God has a visitation for this body of people. God has a particular plan for this body of people meeting in this building. Hear me now. God has a destiny and a plan that he wants to develop here so that this place becomes an oasis of kingdom life, so that people out there who are not even going to church now, some of them have dropped out altogether, God will draw them into a place of fellowship. Not church, fellowship. Not doctrine, life. Amen? And they'll walk in and they'll know that they have found the place they've been looking for all their life. Hello. Hear me, Brother Mike. God is going to raise up a people. We can be part of it, or we can please ourselves and not be part of it. But I want to be part of the kingdom of God in this hour. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe God. I won't believe myself. I believe God. You can't believe yourself. Yourself will get you into trouble. You've got to kill that self thing and live in the life realm of God. I won't go there right now. But, again, there's righteousness that's imputed to us. That's when we are justified. Amen. And then we learn to grow in righteousness. We grow from faith to faith. Hallelujah. And we learn to walk in by faith, daily asking the Lord at any time we need to, forgiveness, confessing any wrong attitude, any unforgiveness toward one another, not holding on to any offense. Listen, don't let unbelief abide in you. Don't let unbelief come into your house. Don't let it come in. Don't be an unbelieving believer. Be a believer. Because again, I remember old Robert said this many, many, many years ago. And this was when he was in the height of his ministry. I was in one of his meetings. I got to meet him. And he was having amazing, what amazing, wonderful, anointed presence of God on that one. It was amazing. But he said this, I cannot afford to be with a negative person. I cannot allow myself to listen to all this negative stuff. Because you see, it creates an atmosphere. The stuff you hear on radio, on television, all the rest of it, we cannot afford to listen to it. Don't let that invade your house. Your house is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Cut off every voice that is negative. You got enough negative things to handle without all these other negative voices pounding on your door and trying to put you down and knock you out and get you into a world frame of mind. Let me lift my voice and say it again. God is your source. Amen. And if you're living it right, He will take care of you. I say, if you live kingdom now, you'll inherit kingdom then. Hallelujah. And that's the word of the Lord. So we walk daily in this place with Him, asking forgiveness from one another if we have offended any way. Our wife, our husband. I don't know how many times in the last 12 months, I never used to do it as much, but I do it more now. The moment I feel my wife is upset with me, I go, oh, sorry, I'm forgiving. I never heard you. I just wasn't thinking. Blah, blah, blah. I got to go to her and thank God. She says, oh, you're forgiven. Are you hearing me? Your wife is the most precious jewel you've got sitting next to you. So you have to humble yourself. Man, it's humbling, all right. But if you humble yourself under your mighty hand of God, God will raise you up. And your wife will love you so much more. Our husband, our children, and one another, forgiving one another, not from the head, but from the heart. Man, I am so thankful, my God, my Father has forgiven me. I am so thankful to God for His forgiveness. I can't thank God enough for forgiving me. Hallelujah. We ought to have that kind of a heart where we forgive one another. Forgiveness. Don't take offense. Don't allow some demon of negative demon to sit on the shoulder and say, and you're blowing it, you failed, it's no good, it's impossible. That's a lot of rubbish and it's a lot of lies. It doesn't matter what size, shape, form you come in. It doesn't matter what kind of education or anything like that. It's got nothing to do with that at all. For God makes it real clearly, not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise men are called. But God has chosen the poor, the base, those that are not. Why do you think He chose people like David and some of these other? What a mess these people were in. Samson and you know, even Abraham, he blew it. I mean, they all messed up. They were just sinners. The whole bunch of them were all sinners. But God sometimes just chooses the most rugged, rough diamond of all because He knows what saved David, a heart for God. It's not how worthy you are, it's how willing you are. I like this church over here. I keep preaching it to this church. It's not how worthy you are, it's how willing you are. Oh God, make me so worthy, make me so worthy. No, you are worthy in Him. All we have to do is be willing. I remember Brother Tony preaching. Dear Brother Tony, if you be willing and obedient, you will inherit the land. willing and obedient, you will inherit the promises of God. Doesn't matter how many times you fall down in one day, if you get up and say, cleanse me, Lord, He'll cleanse you. As long as your heart's right. He gives us a new heart. And He puts a smile in our heart. Amen. Gives us a brand new man inside of us. We live in that new man. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. So we are to live. Learn to live in righteousness, keeping short accounts with God each minute of the day. When I use my debit card immediately, I have no debt to pay. As long as I pay my credit card at the end of the month, I'm fine. Amen. But I can use it anywhere, any place at all, and hey, taken care of. Well, it's the same with God. Hallelujah. When I get my account from the bank of heaven, I am in credit. I'm counted worthy through His blood. So that the life I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith and obedience to the Lord is evidence of a kingdom heart and mind, living and contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. That's in Jude 1, verses 3 and 4. As I say, these notes are an outline. You can go into them. There's plenty more you can get from these by just going and reading the scriptures and seeing it for yourself and looking at yourself in the mirror, amen, of God's word, and beholding him in that mirror, we are changed. Glory to God. You still with me? So, that's faith. Let me touch one more and then we'll take a break. It's ready? Do I have time to do one more? Well, you guys went and ate and drank over there. I'm going to take some of your time. Oh, is she waiting for us? No, all right. Well, we'll stop. We'll stop right now. Yep, we'll stop right now. God bless you. Amen. Yeah.
We'll be back after lunch.
Huh? We're coming up back here. After lunch. Okay. And so lunch is from 12 to 1, so we've got 45 minutes left. Great. Very good. We'll catch up somehow. Now, I don't mind if you have any questions or any arguments or any, you know, you can always come and talk to me and tell me you don't like me anymore. I'll pray for you. Bless you.
Let me unhook you so you
can. Oh, yeah, that's a good
during lunchtime.
Well, that's a good.